just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Greetings and welcome back to Livestream, your weekly dose of life only on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, the station that brings you hope. And hopefully for those that tune into the show on a regular basis, we'll be starting to recognize who it is behind the mic. And yes, it is none other than Vaughn, your host for Livestream, back in studio today, also known as the Cyber Hitchhiker for those that know me on other channels. And it is great to be back in Durban. We were up over the last couple of days with the Association of Christian Media's conference that was held in Gauteng. And what an amazing time to be around all our fellow media houses, publishing houses, online outlets, radio stations, as well as television networks that all came together under the Association of Christian Media to celebrate God in media and to basically plot a way forward and to see where everyone is going and what plans are in motion regarding good quality Christian content in our media. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I will be having a few snippets of what was spoken about by the various speakers. And I'll probably just break it up into short 5-minute segments and add it into the show over the next couple of weeks, just so that you guys can get a taste as a listener for what goes on behind the scenes and where God is in all of this, and how amazing it is to hear people from various parts of the world and organizations without really getting together. But when you listen to everyone speaking and the presentations that were basically laid forth at the Association for Christian Media Conference, which was called Recalibrate, was the theme for this year. And what struck me the most was the oneness and the alignment of how you can see God's plan in action in all the various organizations across the various digital media formats, not just radio. Everyone is pointing in the same direction and saying that we need to shift our focus and recalibrate and look at how we can do better quality content that is God-centric, God-focused, and that will impart knowledge as well as entertainment to the listeners and viewers that tune into all the different channels. And hopefully, especially with the amount of screen time that we are spending on our screens these days, I mean, on average, it's around 8 hours a day that we are spending across various devices on various screens. Next time you're on your screen, try and look and see how much quality content is available and what pops up. It is very few and far between. You have to often go searching for good quality Christian content. And as a content provider and creator, I'm not only wanting to create content for unbelievers. Yes, we want to do create content for unbelievers in order to get the gospel message across, but we also want to make sure that our Christian brethren and sisters have good quality content regarding discipleship, so that we can be imparting knowledge and giving our Christian listeners and viewers good content, so that they don't have to turn to secular means in order to satisfy their need for a bit of entertainment or their need to watch a good quality video. That we have this Christian content available for our Christian listeners and viewers across our various platforms.
I'm pro-life, that's why I stand for life.
Now, I'm going to be focusing a lot on news this week, because there's been a lot happening since I've been away, and I'm going to be focusing a little bit on, as always, the sanctity of life and pro-life issues this week. And as we know, in America, the Roe versus Wade case, which was tried in 1973 already and basically was the starting point of abortion on demand in America, that has been ongoing now for practically the last 50 years. But we can see that I think we are coming close to the end of the race over there. And with the Supreme Court justices deliberating on the Roe versus Wade and all of the different states and cities across America, regardless of the current government administration being completely opposite to pro-life and being practically pro-death and celebrating murder in society by the laws that they're wanting to pass, we can see that there's been a radical shift in thinking of the people. And this is the kind of thing that we can grab onto in South Africa and really start pushing the gospel message about the value of life, and how little value is actually placed on life, and rather asking the question, why is it that our young people are acting the way they are acting? Why is it that the world and South Africa in particular is in a place of utter disarray where we see people pulling apart and being very divisive and not really coming together as communities? We need to ask ourselves, why is this happening? And for us who know God and have accepted Him, we know that the more you take God out of our systems and you replace Him with man, the more things are going to go wrong. It is not possible to correct a situation of sin with man at the center. And that is why we have all of these crazy laws that are coming about and things that are happening. And in South Africa at the moment, we have the euthanasia debate coming back into the forefront, because there are always ongoing cases in our courts, regardless of whether we know about them or not, of people wanting to push the euthanasia agenda, which is the opposite end of abortion, where when we are coming to the end of our life, or supposedly that's where euthanasia started, was when you come to the end of your life and you are no longer deemed necessary to society, or you feel like you're going to be a burden to your loved ones or your friends, etc., etc., you then have the option of asking a doctor to do physician-assisted suicide, where they can then give you a concoction of drugs and so-called put you to sleep or kill you in order to have your burden lessened, which is crazy, on those around you, which is opposite of the biblical model. For those that don't know, euthanasia has been around overseas for a very long time. I did touch on this a couple of weeks ago on a program where I mentioned how 1st of April 2022 was the 20-year anniversary for euthanasia being legalized in the Netherlands, and how far they've gone on the slippery slope from where it was to what it is now and what is allowed to be considered as euthanasia and you being able to take your life according to certain protocols in the law system. But Canada, for those that don't know, has got one of the most liberal euthanasia laws, if I can put it that way, when it comes to governing euthanasia. And in Canada at the moment, I just came across an article the other day where the poor people in Canada are turning to euthanasia as an escape for financial troubles. Now, I know that sounds crazy, because it is. And there's already been one such case where a lady, after pleading unsuccessfully for affordable housing to help her ease her chronic health condition, she unsuccessfully pleaded for affordable housing. She was under the country's assisted suicide laws, was helped by a physician. Listen to this, guys. Was helped by a physician to kill herself because of her suffering by not being able to get affordable housing, which then meant that her chronic health condition was unmanageable. And she could not carry on living on disability payments. And she has basically reached the conclusion and the final approval that has been said yes by the doctors and physicians and the Canadian rule of law under euthanasia. And yes, your situation, because you are depressed, because you're on chronic medication, because you are disabled, and you have unsuccessfully applied for affordable housing, which would have eased your burdens. Your burdens have now become so great that you cannot carry on living, and you have then turned to the state of Canada and said, please, I would like to apply for assisted suicide. And it has finally been approved, and she has ended her life, from what I understand now. And there are a few other people that are now jumping onto this and doing the same thing. If that doesn't sound crazy to you, then I don't know what does. Now, what's even more crazy about this is I was part of Doctors for Life International when we were busy part of the court case, the Robert Strantham Ford court case. For those that don't know about it, you can Google it. It happened a couple of years ago where Robert Strantham Ford, it caused a massive uproar in the country because of Judge Fabricius's rulings on this specific case. But at the moment now in South Africa, we've got the pro-euthanasia side of things. Basically, they are lobbying again. And I see there, this is a case that dates back to 2017 when it was first put to the court, but it's now coming to the forefront again. And there are two people who are both suffering from terminal illnesses who have now requested through the Johannesburg High Court, and they started the application in 2017, and they are seeking PAS, for short, physician assisted suicide. And the Human Rights and Public Interest Organization Cause for Justice is always standing up for godly justice and biblical principles in the political and social realm of lawmaking. And they are participating in these proceedings at the moment as a friend of the court. And the trial was initially set to be heard in Johannesburg High Court on the 3rd of May this year, but has been removed from the court and will basically only be heard later. But they are participating in this case as a friend of the court. The matter has been removed a few times, but according to CEFJ, which is Cause for Justice, legalizing the killing of human beings has far-reaching societal consequences. It diminishes the worth of human life. Inevitably, it erodes all other fundamental rights, since each human right is anchored by the value of the right to human life. And this basically pertains, these principles pertain to abortion as well. Because all it is us killing before we are born, compared to euthanasia, where it's killing towards the end of life, for a societal problem, not a medical condition. And that is why we cannot support the legalizing of euthanasia in any form. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned euthanasia is made to sound. It is not a medical treatment or a response to human sickness and suffering. If we understand this, it is now, as you heard in Canada, these are societal issues where people are depressed, they've got mental conditions, and they are using physician-assisted suicide as a way to escape and get out of their problems. And the thing is, it's becoming more and more socially acceptable to be able to do these things, which is absolutely crazy. And this is only because of the watering down of the laws. As we keep going along this euthanasia slippery slope, you find that laws become more and more relaxed, whereas in the beginning you had to have extreme mental conditions, or you had to have a debilitating illness that was going to be basically for 100% sure kill you in the next 6 months of extreme pain and suffering. That is where euthanasia starts, because then it sounds like a good thing. But that's not where it ends. As we know, in Belgium now, teenagers can go, if they are having a rough time psychologically, can go and apply for a physician-assisted suicide without even parental consent. Just like with abortion, you can be a young girl in crisis and you don't need your parents' consent to basically go and have an abortion. You can make a decision that will ruin the rest of your life, turn you into someone who you are not supposed to be as a mother, where you are supposed to be a lover of life and a nurturer of life through being a mother and giving birth and having children. You're now being turned into a murderer, which is completely opposite to every motherly instinct that a woman has. So let's keep our courts in prayer, and let's make sure as Christians we are the activists that we are supposed to be, and stand up for all of these social injustices according to biblical principles and the sanctity of life, which places value on human life above all else because of the intrinsic image of God that has been imprinted on us by our Creator, as we read in Genesis 1:27. Right, so now we are moving on to pro-life news, and I've got a few articles that I want to go through with you guys today, and this obviously pertains to the repercussions and the ramifications of everything that is happening in America right now regarding the Roe versus Wade decision and the Supreme Court of Justice leaked documents that I've spoken about that have come out that have basically shown that they are literally going to be overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on, both good and bad, and we are going to focus a little bit on both of those. But we can see on a state level, Oklahoma is just one. And they have passed an abortion ban protecting babies from conception. And the Oklahoma legislature has passed a ban on abortions protecting babies starting at conception. This measure is pretty much similar to the Texas-style heartbeat bill that includes a private right of action as enforcement, civil action basically. But instead of protecting babies at 6 weeks when the heartbeat bill does, which is basically when the heartbeat can be detected in the baby, it starts protecting the unborn child like we've been advocating for many years as part of the National Alliance for Life here in South Africa. Children need to be protected from the moment of conception or the moment of fertilization, when their life begins. That is right. Your life does not begin outside the womb. It begins inside the womb. Now, the Texas abortion ban is a unique law that has been on the books for over 260 days and has saved already, since its implementation in those 260 days, over 17,000 babies from abortion. So Oklahoma will be the third state to have passed such a law, following both Texas and Idaho. And like I said, the Texas law has survived pro-abortion lawsuits and has been affirmed at both the Supreme Court and to Texas Supreme Court. The Idaho law has been put on hold while the lawsuits against it continue. And in a decision earlier this month, the Oklahoma Supreme Court declined to block the law. Senate Bill 1503 makes it so that abortionists are prohibited from killing babies in abortions, and instead of a criminal enforcement by state or local officials, the law allows private individuals, which is awesome, to file civil lawsuits against abortionists for those helping abortionists to end the life of the unborn child. And all across the U.S. at the moment, we can see state lawmakers have introduced hundreds of pro-life bills in anticipation of the Supreme Court overturning Roe this summer. And this is the American summer, our winter. And since 1973, states have been forced to legalize abortions on a federal level without limits up to viability. And more than 63.5 million unborn babies have been killed in these last 50 years in America. In South Africa, we know it is around 6.5 million babies since 1997. And the Guttmacher Institute, which is a pro-abortion study group, estimates that 26 states are certain or likely to ban abortions. That is correct, more than half of the 50 states in America. And if you listen to my interview with Abby Johnson last week, you will hear how she speaks about how this is going to literally tear the nation in half. And we just need to be prepared for the aftermath of what's going to happen. And we'll hear a little bit more about how these guys react to this. Researchers have estimated that the abortion numbers will drop to around 120,000 in the first year, and potentially even more in subsequent years if the High Court allows states to ban abortions once again. Now, on the other side of things, we've got the radical pro-abortion extremists who promise more violence and more protests in America because of this about to happen. And unfortunately, backed by unpopular demand, the left's rights are set to return once again after the final Supreme Court ruling on Roe is handed down. And this march that is being organized by the radicals says this will be a summer of rage across America. We will be ungovernable, the radicals have threatened, until the violence they bring to our cities can be replicated in each and every mother's womb. That is correct. They are saying that the violence we bring to these cities must be replicated in every mother's womb. Guys, these are the people that are advocating for us to kill our children and legalize it and make it legal and acceptable by society that mothers can kill their babies. We have these same people that are organizing these violent protests. They are outside the Supreme Court justices' houses. The five conservative judges are getting just a preview from what I understand is yet to come. As crowds of abortion extremists stake out their neighborhoods with bullhorns and signs, things have gotten so out of hand, it has gotten to a point where doing rioting and doing violence has become the norm in America, and it is no longer considered as something taboo but socially acceptable. Kamala Harris, we all know her very well. She will be meeting with abortionists to celebrate killing babies. Again, Kamala Harris has honored abortionists at the White House during a virtual meeting to discuss the U.S. Supreme Court likely overturning Roe v. Wade this summer, which is our winter. And the vice president plans to listen to abortionist stories and thank them for their work while renewing the Biden administration's promises to fight for the so-called right to abortion. Abortionists from California, Kansas, Missouri, Montana, Oklahoma, and Texas plan to participate, obviously because these are some of the states that are going to be mostly hit by these bans. The Biden administration is fighting to keep the killing of unborn babies in abortions legal for basically any reason up until birth, which is what we are planning on doing here in South Africa as well. At the moment in South Africa, up until 12 weeks, but we know the slippery slope. It only starts there and it eventually will become progressively worse. Thank goodness many of these efforts in America have failed due to the state level standing up against the federal government and saying, we are not in consensus with you saying killing unborn babies is the correct way to go. Now, both Harris and Biden have lashed out in response to the leaked draft that happened earlier this month, and they've basically said now that the rights of all Americans are at risk if women are no longer allowed to have abortions or kill their babies. Absolutely insane. Now, since Roe v. Wade, around 63 million babies have been killed and hundreds of mothers have died in supposedly safe and legal abortions. And the 1973 ruling forces states to legalize the killing of unborn babies in abortions up till viability and allow states to legalize abortions up to birth, depending on how they see things. Obviously, taking the law away from the federal side of things and putting it back into state hands doesn't mean that you're going to have an outright ban against abortion across America. What it means is that each state will be able to regulate how abortion happens or whether they're going to allow it at all. And like we've said, 26 out of the 50 so far are very much pro-life and uphold sanctity of life principles and don't want abortion in their cities or states. And there are certain cities and towns, not on a state level, that have also gone the route of putting laws into place. And a small Texas town has become the 50th city in America to ban abortions. The 50th city, not state, city. And the Sanctuary City for the Unborn, which is a movement, has reached a major milestone this past week when a Texas city voted to become the 50th to adopt a pro-life ordinance outlining abortions. Mark Lee Dickerson, the director of Right to Life of East Texas and founder of the Sanctuary Cities of the Unborn Initiative, said the City Council of Normangy approved the ordinance in a unanimous vote. The vote by the City Council was unanimous. Way to go to Normangy, Texas. Normangy, Texas, you are a pro-life town. And it is the 50th city in the United States and the 44th in Texas to pass a Sanctuary City for the Unborn Ordinance, which bans the killing of unborn babies in abortions within its city limits. Now, funnily enough, in Normangy, there are no abortion facilities. I looked this up. But they are so pro-life that they're not even wanting any abortion provider to move into their town to even have the chance of opening a clinic. So they are preempting this by just saying, our city, the law states no abortion, therefore no abortion clinics. So even though we have no centers in our city, no center will ever be able to open. That is the way you handle dealing with killing of the unborn babies. So way to go to Normangy, Texas, number 50, and we hope that there are a lot more to come. Let's have a look at this quickly. Ben Carson, as we all know, is a very well-known doctor and international speaker. And he always has very strong thoughts and convictions when it comes to abortion. And in a recent interview, the retired brain surgeon made an interesting point that the inconsistency of the law is crazy when it comes to abortion. So the former Secretary of the House and Urban Development noticed how many states have laws that bring up two charges of murder. Think about this. That bring up two charges of murder or homicide when a pregnant woman and her unborn baby are killed. So if you are killed by an attacker, a murderer basically, and you are pregnant, the law will charge that guy with two counts of murder. And Ben Carson says this, it would be nice to inject some logic into the whole abortion issue, he said. For instance, why is it that if someone murders a pregnant woman, they get two counts of murder? But when you kill a baby under the abortion law, there is no problem. Yes, obviously that does not make sense. Of course it doesn't. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. This is something we need to sit down and have a discussion about. Both sides. Rather than getting on our respective corners and throwing rocks at each other. Very wise man. Let's actually use the brains that God gave us in recognizing that we have a diverse society. Let's come up with things that actually make sense, Carson continued to say. Carson also spoke out on the problems of radical abortion activists protesting outside the homes of the Supreme Court justices in the wake of the leaked draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade. And he says this, I'm disappointed that the Justice Department isn't being a little more forceful. We cannot have intimidation of our Supreme Court justices and just sit back and look and say, well, they have the right to protest peacefully. You do not have a right to intimidate a judge or a jury. Let's get this straight. Can you imagine what's going to happen after the ruling comes down, Ben Carson says. Assuming that it does in fact come down, not in the favor of the left, this is going to be a walk in the park compared to what will happen. So we need to send a message right now that this kind of foolish behavior will not be tolerated. Otherwise, it will just get worse, like we saw in South Africa with the local riots down here in Durban and Phoenix. If you don't nip it in the bud and tell people that their actions are highly unacceptable and illegal, it will become socially acceptable to burn loot every time you have a problem with something. And that does no one any good whatsoever. Greetings, you are tuned into Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM and you are listening to Livestream, your weekly dose of life only on GNCR 93.6 FM between 4:30 and 5 every Monday afternoon. And we are in the middle of some pro-life news. And we are discussing everything that is going on with the Roe versus Wade cases in America and the Supreme Court justices' ruling, which is going to basically ban and overturn abortion. And we are extremely happy about this. Now, I just want to end off the show with a little snippet from what the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs has to say. And this is regarding the treatment of ectopic pregnancies and abortion, because an ectopic pregnancy is when a baby starts growing inside the fallopian tube and not in the womb. And often a doctor will have to treat this, and the pro-abortionists use this to basically say, well, that's also abortion. Well, it's not really, because you see, the doctor is treating two patients and he has to save the life of one of them. And if you have an ectopic pregnancy, the chances of that baby surviving are zero. There's no way that a baby can come to term inside of a fallopian tube and not in the womb. And if you leave it there, it will eventually kill the mother and it will die itself, obviously. So the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs dispels the myth that banning abortions would prevent doctors from providing life-saving care to women who suffer miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies. Dr. Christina Francis, an OBGYN and board chair of the medical association, said it is really important to clear up the misconception, especially with all of this talk in the Supreme Court likely overturning Roe versus Wade, because these are the kind of arguments the pro-abortion groups like to use. Oh, but if you ban abortion, how are you going to save people from miscarriages? How are you going to save people from ectopic pregnancies? Without Roe, states will be allowed to protect unborn babies. This is the point. And experts predict as many as 26 states, as I said before, will do this. Now, abortion activists are spreading lies about these abortion bans and endangering women's lives in the process, because they don't really care about the lives, it's about the money. Francis said pro-life laws do not stop doctors like herself from providing life-saving care to women. These laws always include exceptions if the mother's life is at risk. And Francis says miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies are not the same as elective abortions. Let's hear what the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs has to say.
I'm Dr. Christina Francis. I'm a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist, or OBGYN. Let's be clear about one thing. Treating ectopic pregnancies or miscarriages is not an abortion. I think it's really important that we clear up this misconception that's out there that if a state outlaws abortion, it will prevent physicians like me from taking care of women with ectopic pregnancies or miscarriages. How do I know this isn't the case? Because in my entire career, I've never needed to perform an elective abortion. And yet, I've been able to take care of women with ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages throughout my career. I did my residency program at a Catholic hospital where we didn't do abortions, and yet I treated ectopic pregnancies throughout my residency. Right now, I work at a hospital that does not do abortions, and yet I have never been hindered in my ability to take care of a woman with an ectopic pregnancy. We are pro-life in all circumstances, which means that we save who we can. In the rare situation in which a woman's life is in danger, my job as a physician is to intervene to save her life. However, I can do this in a way that does not intend the ending of the life that's developing inside of her. Again, I think we need to be exceedingly clear. Treating an ectopic pregnancy or a miscarriage is not an abortion. And my ability to treat these conditions would not be hindered by a state outlawing abortion.
Right, and that brings us to the end of our 30 minutes that we are allotted for our program, and we are very happy to be on time today, and we would like to just say to everyone that tunes into Good News Community Radio, keep tuning in, keep listening to our station, and keep engaging with us. We love to hear from you, so drop us a WhatsApp on the WhatsApp radio station line. For those that listen, you guys know the WhatsApp number off by heart by now, because I can see the WhatsApps coming through all the time in studio. So thank you guys for your engagement. Thank you for getting hold of the station and letting us know your thoughts and views on our content. Drop us a line anytime and let us know exactly how you feel, and give us your thoughts and opinions on the topics that we discuss here on Good News Community Radio. Until we meet you guys again, same time, same place next week, 4:30 to 5. This is Vaughan for Livestream, your weekly dose of life, saying goodbye and God bless.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God